Assalamu alaikum. You're listening to exclusive content brought to you by Seeker's Guidance. We are committed to make reliable Islamic knowledge accessible and free of charge. Help us in our mission by making a small donation at seekersguidance.org/donate. Even $10 a month can go a long way.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. وأفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا وقرة عيوننا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه إلى يوم الدين. اللهم فقهنا في الدين وعلمنا التأويل وألهمنا رشدنا وهدينا وخيرنا يا رب العالمين. الحمد لله. In our weekly revival circle in which we are looking at the Ihya of Imam Al-Ghazali, we have, by the grace of our mighty Lord, completed the book of knowledge. And Imam Al-Ghazali began his Ihya, his revival of the religious sciences, by looking at knowledge even before faith. Why? Because the revival of religion is built upon knowledge, but not just any knowledge, rather the central premise is that it is beneficial knowledge that revives religion, which is to know what you need to turn to your Lord, to know what you need to turn to your Lord, to seek your Lord, and to know yourself and how to rectify your state so that you can be pleasing in your states to your Lord, mighty and majestic. And Imam Al-Ghazali closed with a very significant chapter on one of the closing chapters, which is on the signs of the scholars of the hereafter. And these are critical signs that we should strive to embody. And it is such scholars, the scholars of the hereafter, those scholars who put the next life before this, who put the pleasure of Allah over their own whims, who follow the way, approach, and attitude of the early Muslims, right, of those who most closely followed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Imam Al-Ghazali, after that brilliant opening, and Sheikh Yusuf drove this section home really, really beneficially. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless him and grant him good health. As you may be aware, Sheikh Yusuf's health has been challenged recently. We intend that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him shifa and afia. So now Imam Al-Ghazali begins his book 2, which is on mainstream beliefs. And this is critical, right? Because action, right, the acts of religion, what are they? The actions of religion are how we live our faith, right? Our purification and prayer and fasting and hajj and charity and zakat and recitation of Quran and dhikr and dua, all of our works of devotion, and all are striving to adhere to divine guidance and prophetic teachings in our living, all of that obedience and that adherence is living the implications of faith. So this chapter is very important, right? And this is a beautiful summation of mainstream Islamic beliefs. This is not primarily a class on the details of Islamic belief, and that is more properly covered in the courses on Islamic beliefs, and we have a whole number of them teaching Islamic beliefs in the Islamic Studies curriculum, also in the Youth Islamic Studies curriculum, and we also have dedicated individual classes related to key topics of faith, like why we believe in God, right? And so on. And those are of benefit, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. And you can check them out at Seeker's Guidance. Imam al-Ghazali begins his section on mainstream beliefs spectacularly, right? He begins with a beautiful opening, right? He says, Alhamdulillahi alladhi mayyaza 'isabata as-sunnah bi anwar al-yaqin. All praise belongs to Allah, who has distinguished the people of the prophetic way with the lights of certitude. وَيَسَّرَ لَهُمْ اِقْتِفَاءَ أَثَارِ السَّلَفِ الصَّالِحِينَ, and who has facilitated for them to follow the footsteps of the righteous predecessors, the Salaf al-Salih, such that they held fast to what is entailed by intellects, and they realized that it is not sufficient for the intelligent believer to limit themselves solely by affirming La ilaha illallah, Muhammadun Rasulullah, but that they must understand its meanings and its implications and be realized in them. Right? So Imam al-Ghazali opens with this comprehensive statement, right? That what makes us a believer is very straightforward. It is that we believe in La ilaha illallah, there's no God but God. And that Muhammad is the messenger of God. So that has to, for that to be well rooted in the heart, there has to be certain things that have to be there. Right? What needs to be there? What needs to be there is that we affirm God Himself and what we need to believe about God. Then what we affirm about the attributes of God and the actions of God. And then affirm the truthfulness of the truth claim of the prophets and what they came of matters related to the next life. So in this section of the course, right, in book 2 of beliefs, we will be covering, as Imam al-Ghazali does, 3 chapters that Imam al-Ghazali broke his book 2 into. So Imam al-Ghazali begins by telling us what we believe about Allah, His attributes and actions. That's his first chapter. Because this is the heart of the book, we'll be covering this over 2 lessons. Then he tells us about the transmitted beliefs. Then in chapter 2, he has a beautiful section, which is very beneficial for parents, particularly in raising their children, but also for us to raise ourselves. How do we inculcate belief? And then, issues related to Iman and Islam. Issues related to our faith and submission. Right? And does faith increase and decrease? What is the relationship between Islam and Iman? Faith and certitude? Being sincere in faith versus hypocrisy. There are some important closing discussions. So today, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, in the first lesson, we're going to begin by looking at the integrals of faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this revolves, this realization of the statement of faith, it revolves around realizing La ilaha illallah and realizing Muhammadun Rasulullah. So, before we look fully at what Imam al-Ghazali tells us, when we say La ilaha illallah, there is no God but Allah, what are we saying? When we say that there is no God but Allah, who is God? God is the creator of all things, right? So when we say La ilaha illallah, there's no God but God, there is no creator but God. Right? That God is the only one who creates is God. Right? God is the one who is rightfully worshipped because he is the creator of everything. Therefore, there's none who is worthy of worship because but God. Why? Because he is the creator of all things. He has created us and blessed us. And therefore, in recognition of our creator and our Lord, we worship him as he has commanded us to. That's why the first command of the Quran, what is it? Ya ayyuhan nas, O people. And the first address to the believers in the Quran, to humanity more broadly, O people, Ya ayyuhan nas, u'budu rabbakum, worship your caring Lord, alladhi khalaqakum, who has created you, walladhina min qablikum, and those before you, la'allakum tattaqoon, so that you may attain taqwa, mindfulness. Right? So the command, right, to worship is connected to the recognition that Allah has created us and he nurtures us. So la ilaha illallah, there is none, there's no creator but God, there's none worthy of worship but God. But God is the necessary existent. God is the one who has created all things and who is free of need of any other. And all things being created by God and being sustained by God are therefore in absolute need of God. So God is the one free of need of any other, whom all are in absolute need of. So La ilaha illallah refers to there's none free of need of any other, whom all are in absolute need of, but Allah. Right? So when we say La ilaha illallah, these are some of the meanings that should be in our consciousness. There's none worthy of worship but God. But Allah. There's none free of need of any other, whom all are in absolute need of, except Allah. Right? So, and when we say Muhammadun Rasulullah, and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, why do we say it? Because he has come with a truth claim, which is that I am the messenger of God, and that truth claim has been confirmed through the Quran. That truth claim has been confirmed by his radiant example of being dazzlingly trustworthy, dazzlingly true, amazing in his character and his example. So we say La ilaha illallah Muhammadun Rasulullah with understanding, appreciation, and certitude. So the first of the sections that Imam al-Ghazali looks at, which we will begin by looking at today, is what we believe about Allah Most High Himself. What we believe about Allah Most High Himself. And this can be summarized in 6 key points. Right? In 6 key points. Right? The first, right, is the first of these points is to know the existence of God, to know that God exists. Right? And And this is a reality, right? The existence of God. That's why Imam al-Ghazali says that the first of the, you know, the first and most befitting of means to illuminate oneself with spiritual light and to pursue the path of consideration is what the Quran guides to of meanings, because there is no exposition like the exposition of God Himself. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, and this is in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 164. So in the second surah, verse 164, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ وَالْفُلْكِ الَّتِي تَجْرِي فِي الْبَحْرِ بِمَا يَنْفَعُ النَّاسِ وَمَا أَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مِنْ مَاءٍ فأحيا به الأرض بعد موتها وبث فيها من كل دابة وتصريف الرياح والسحاب المسخر بين السماء والأرض لآيات لقوم يعقلون. That truly in the createdness of the heavens and the earth and the alternation of night and day and in the ship as it sails or it cuts through the ocean, bringing that which benefits people, and all that Allah sends down from the sky of water, whereby He gives life to the earth after it was dead, and what He has spread on the earth of all kinds of creatures, and the changing of the winds and the clouds that have been brought forth between the heavens and the earth. In all of this are numerous signs for those who would reflect. And to reflect. Because all of these all change points to origination. And anything originated needs an originator, right? If my cup was empty and then suddenly it is full, someone filled the cup, right? If my room was in a certain way and suddenly it has changed, even slight changes we attribute to a cause. So what about all the change around us with the wisdom in it, the beauty in it, the perfection in it? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us elsewhere in the Quran, right, about the realities of faith, right? And we would encourage you to reflect, for example, from Surah Nuh, which is Surah 71, verses 15 to 18, right, calling us to reflect on the sky, right, and the universe, and to reflect on the moon and the sun, right, and to reflect on the crop that arises from the ground, right, and our own return to the ground, and our then being resurrected before God. In all of these things are numerous signs, right? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks us the question, right, that all these things that we partake of, right, in Surah Al-Waqi'ah, the 56th surah, verse 59, أَأَنْتُمْ تَخْلُقُونَهُ, is it you who created it? أَمْ نَحْنُ الْخَالِقُونَ, or are we the creator? Who is the origin of all of these, right? And Imam al-Ghazali says, and it is evident to anyone who has the least of intellect, if they were to consider these verses, and if one directs one's reflection to all the marvels that Allah has created on earth and in the heavens, and the natures of animals and plants, that this marvelous matter and this perfection that we behold could only arise from a creator who has considered and chosen, who acts with wisdom and ability and power. He says, rather, it is part of the innate nature of humans to recognize that that we are utterly dependent upon a supreme being. And we're living in a world enveloped by that supreme being's ultimate plan. Right? That's why Imam al-Ghazali says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks us this rhetorical question in Surah Ibrahim, verse 10, أَفِي اللَّهِ شَكٍ. Can there be doubt about God? Can there be doubt about God? Right? Meaning they cannot be possible doubt about God. فَاطِرِ السَّمَوَاتِ الْأَرْضِ. The originator of the heavens and the earth. And the originator of the heavens and the earth. That's why the very purpose of sending the prophets from the beginning of humanity was to call people to the recognition of the most evident of truths, which is La ilaha illallah, that there is no God but God. There is none free of need of any other, whom all are in absolute need of, but the one God. There is no creator but the one God. There is none worthy of your devotion, your submission, your worship, but the one God. Right? So this is the call of all prophets. Right? This is the call of all prophets. So that's the first principle, to recognize God. And of course, we talked about it in a basic sense here. We have entire courses covering this in further detail. Then the second principle of the principles, of the six principles of faith that each of us must be aware of, is to know that Allah Most High is eternal without beginning and everlasting without end. Right? He's eternal without beginning and everlasting without end. Why? Because the creator of all things must necessarily exist. Right? The existence of God, the creator, the one free of need of any other, whom all are in absolute need of, must necessarily be eternal and everlasting, because he necessarily exists. Were he to have a beginning, then he would not be the necessary existent. He would be dependent on one to bring him into existence, and therefore he would not be God. If he were to have an end, then he doesn't necessarily exist. Whatever caused him to end has power over him, and he would not be God. Right? Rather, God is the first before all, and the last beyond all, right? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us this in the Quran, هُوَ الْأَوَّلُ وَالْآخِرُ وَالظَّاهِرُ وَالْبَاطِنُ. He is the first and the last, the manifest and the hidden, from Surah Al-Hadid, verse number 3. So that's the second principle of faith. And this is very powerful, right? To know that the one you worship is beyond time, unaffected by this envelope of time that we are bound by. God is beyond the limitation of time. He is the creator of time. The third principle that relates to what we affirm about God is to know about Allah Most High's knowledge, right? To know about Allah Most High's knowledge, that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, His knowledge is eternal, it is absolute, and it is without limits, right? And we will look at that bi-idhnillahi ta'ala further when we look at the attributes of God, right? So Allah is eternal and everlasting, and we affirm the absoluteness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's knowledge, and that will come up further in His attributes. The fourth and fifth principles relate to understanding the transcendence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? That Allah is transcendent beyond His creation, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is transcendent beyond His creation. There is absolutely nothing like unto Allah, right? And we look at that further when we look at the attributes of Allah, but we affirm the absolute transcendence of Allah. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. There's nothing like unto Him. But Allah talks to us about Himself on our terms. So in telling us about His greatness and glory, He tells us, الرَّحْمَنُ عَلَى الْعَرْشِ اسْتَوَى. The All-Merciful is established on the throne of majesty. But this is with absolute transcendence, because the throne is created. That it takes up space. It is created in time. It takes up space. Allah is the creator of time and space. He has, in His majesty, exists beyond time and beyond space. So we affirm the transcendence of Allah, and we recognize that when God talks to us about Himself, He uses frames of reference that we can relate to. But we do not limit our understanding of God to our frames of reference, but rather we affirm the absolute transcendence of God, that there is nothing like unto Him. But yet, Allah Most High tells us, and this is the fifth principle that we put with this transcendence, that we affirm that Allah is beheld by the people of faith in the hereafter. Why? Because Allah Most High tells us about that throughout the Quran. وُجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ نَاظِرَةٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهَا نَاظِرَةٌ. Faces on that day will be radiant. Their Lord beholding. Right? From Surah Al-Hadid, verse 3. Sorry, from Surah Al-Qiyamah. Surah Al-Qiyamah, verse 22 and 23. From Surah Al-Qiyamah, verse 22 and 23. وُجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ نَاظِرَةٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهَا نَاظِرَةٌ. Faces on that day will be radiant, their Lord beholding. But this is a beholding of God without directionality, without similitude to the beholding of created things, without encompassing. And this is the greatest bliss for believers in the hereafter. The Prophet ﷺ tells us that truly, once he was walking with the companions, they saw the full moon in the fullness of his glory. And the Prophet ﷺ said, truly you shall behold your Lord as clearly as you behold that full moon, and you shall have no doubt of what you are beholding. Of course, the point of comparison is in the trueness of the beholding. But of course, it is, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, لَا تُدْرِكُهُ الْأَبْصَارِ. Eyes cannot encompass Him. Because this is a beholding without modality, without how, and without similitude to the beholding of created things, without direction. And that's And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about the hereafter. لَهُمْ مَا يَشَاءُونَ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ They shall have whatsoever they seek with their Lord. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَلَدَيْنَا مَزِيدٌ And with us is that which is even greater. And we know from the prophetic tradition, what is even greater is the beholding of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hereafter. That is, that bliss is greater than any other reward or joy in paradise. So that's the fourth and fifth principle. The sixth principle is on the oneness of God. So on the oneness of God. That we affirm that Allah is one in His entity. Right? There's none who shares in divinity with Allah. And Allah is absolutely one. God is not made up of parts, because anything made up of parts is in need of its parts. And Allah is absolutely perfect and free of all need. So Allah is absolutely one in His entity. There's none who shares any meaning of divinity with Him. And God is absolute oneness. He's not a sum of parts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one in His attributes. Every attribute that God has, nobody shares in any attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any way whatsoever. While we may share names, we say, well, I know, I am able, I have will, but my knowledge, my will, my power are all dependent, limited, and conditional. Whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, every attribute of His is not only one, but it is absolutely perfect. And likewise, Allah is one in His actions. And we'll look at the implication of that. Because Allah is the creator of all things. Okay? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala points us in the Quran throughout to the proofs of His oneness. That's why, you know, one of the descriptive names of the Quran is Kitabul Iman. It's a book of faith. It is a book of Tawheed. It's a book of divine oneness from beginning to end. It establishes for you with not just with certainty, but with certitude and conviction that your Lord is but one Lord. Your God is but one God. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us a decisive proof that we explain in the courses on Islamic beliefs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Anbiya, verse 22, لَوْ كَانَ فِيهِمَا آلِهَةٌ إِلَّا اللَّهُ لَفَسَدَتَا Had there been in them, had there been other gods besides Allah, the heavens and the earth could not have existed. Right? Because had there been more than one God, they would fight with each other, or they could fight with each other, and there would be chaos. But what we find is order. Though in reality, if there were more than one God, then nothing would have existed, because more than one God, they could. It's called the proof, Burhan al-Tamanu', the proof of opposition. Because if we were to say, were God, each, then if one willed to do something, then the other, being God, could will for it not to be. And something cannot be and not be at the same time. Whoever gets their will would theoretically be God. The one who didn't, wouldn't be. But if both have this quality of there being another God, then the opposite could also happen. Therefore, neither of them would be God. Right? And we explain this in our Why God On Demand course and others. But what we invite you to here, rather than looking at the details related to the proofs of existence of God, is really to open the Book of God and to seek guidance اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ. Guide us to the path that is straight. The path that is straight is not just a path of doing things or of being good. The path that is straight is the path to God, or the path where you are with God. And that is the path that is straight. Where you live, either seeking God or you find God, and you walk upright in this life, present with God. So that's the first of the sections on the book of beliefs, which to tell us a little bit about God. Next, in lesson 2, بإذن الله تعالى, we'll be looking at the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us faith and clarity and conviction and certitude and contemplation upon both the revealed sign of the Quran and the revealed one who is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to whom the Quran was revealed and who exemplified the Quran and is a living sign of God, and upon the existential signs around us and within ourselves, upon which, if we were to reflect with sincerity, seeking truth, we would find the ultimate truth. La ilaha illallah, Muhammadun Rasulullah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us live on it and die on it and be resurrected on that reality. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Thank you for listening. This lesson was brought to you by Seekers Guidance, the world's first truly global Islamic seminary. Visit seekersguidance.org to access reliable Islamic knowledge taught by qualified teachers. We offer a wide range of courses, podcasts, articles, and a world-class answer service, all completely free of charge. This is made possible solely by supporters like you. Be a partner in this blessed work by making a small donation at seekersguidance.org/donate. Even $10 a month can go a long way. Our beloved Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, said, "Whoever guides someone to goodness will have a similar reward." So don't forget to share this lesson and join us in spreading prophetic guidance.